Fluffy and Fizzy Sports Lounge is a member of the Pulse Podcast Network. For easy listening and of this and other great podcasts, download the Pulse Podcast Network app free from your app store.
Good Friday afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Drew Fluffy Coates.
And Philip Fizzy Barton.
And we welcome to Fluffy and Fizzy Sports Lounge. How are you doing today there, Barton?
Doing good, man. Ready for another weekend of playoff football.
Playoff football. It's a sad time of year, though, because, you know, this show, we're more associated with college football, but there's still football on. But college football had just recently ended and put me and Barton a little bit down place this week.
Yeah. We're having to go out of our element to talk a little filler and stuff. So,
well, I think we're both very knowledgeable about both pro and college football. But, you know, we're more primarily a college football show. But
Fluffy.
Yeah.
I'm the most knowledgeable.
Oh, sorry. All right, you're probably the most knowledgeable on college football, but I'm probably knowledgeable about all around football. So
Okay.
That's fair. That's fair. But if you're new to the program, me and Barton, we talk about three things on the show. We talk about beer, cigars, some good old football.
Yeah, football now.
We will get into, you know, the NFL playoffs, you know, later in the show, but we're going to touch base on, you know, the national title and, you know, some other news going on around the league. Mm-hmm. But first, we got to start with one thing. What is that, Barton?
We got to start with a couple cold beers.
What kind of beer are you starting off with today?
I am drinking a beer from the Cigar City Brewing Company down in Tampa, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Hi-Li IPA. It's your typical IPA, but it's got a little orange citrusy flavor there on the front. It does have a nice little bite to it. So if you're not an IPA fan, you're probably not gonna like this one. But I enjoy it. It's a very good beer to me. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good. Cigar City. I've actually heard a lot about that, and that kind of goes right up our alley, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, I saw this, and believe it or not, I found this in a food line of all grocery stores. You know, I saw it sitting on the shelf. And I said, never tried it. I'm just going to give it a try, see what we got. And
don't sleep on food lines now, because food lines tend to have a very good beer selection. Like, they're on the low key. It's a lot of decent beers that they tend to keep out there as far as craft beer is concerned.
Yeah, and I guess it just depends on the area you're in. But the one near, you know, where I stay, it does a good job of keeping like local beers too. Like, keeping it really stocked with local beers and stuff from around the area.
Yeah. Well, that's the same one. There's one right across the street from where we live. And if I need to grab like a six pack of variety, they always seem to have a good variety. So, folks, don't sleep on the food line if you're looking for craft beer.
Cheers to food line.
Cheers to food line. You know, not an unofficial sponsor, evidently. But, all right, so you're drinking that. I'm drinking a beer. Actually, a buddy at the brewery I go to, Young Vets, a buddy actually brewed his own beer for his wedding. Him and his wife made their own beers for the wedding, which is kind of cool. They call their brewery, you know, the Black Shoe Brewery. And it's not for sale or anything. I just, you know, figured I'd give them a little shout out for the show because, one, it was sitting in my fridge and I kind of was thirsty. So. But this guy's name is Dave, and we call him Shut Up Dave. So he calls his beer, obviously, the Shut Up Dave. And it's a Kolsch style beer. And, you know, it's probably been sitting in the fridge for a while because, you know, I've been gone for so long. It's a Kolsch beer. I don't know if it's, you know, gotten a little bitter because it's been in the fridge for a little while, but it's actually not bad, but it's just got a little bitterness to it towards the end. But very good beer. Kudos to Dave Roberts for, you know, for brewing the beer. So what kind of cigar are you drinking with that beer, or are you smoking with that beer?
So I decided I'm going to get down with the Undercrown today. The Undercrown Shade by Drew Estates. Now, if you're not familiar with Drew Estates, or if you're just getting into smoking cigars or whatever, Drew Estates puts out some delicious cigars. They put out the Acid line, which is kind of some flavored cigars if that's your deal, but they put out some really good cigars. But this one is personally one of my favorites they put out. It's it's an Ecuadorian Connecticut shade wrapper, Sumatran binder, Dominican Nicaraguan filler. It's medium strength, so it's not gonna pack too much punch. Nutty, sweet, cream flavor, says it has some of the descriptions say it has a hint of honey. I don't really get honey out of it, but you know, to each their own. But there's a reason this thing was rated 91. It's a really good cigar.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm smoking a Colonial. It's very, and this is a brand of cigar that my in-laws got another pack for me from Colombia. And they're very small, minute little cigars. But when it's cold as hell out, like it is now, you know, yeah. If you need a 15-minute cigar break, that's pretty much all you're going to get with these. But, you know, for me, I'm like, yeah, it's too cold to be sitting out there too damn long. So it's perfect for that this time of year when it's getting a little too cold outside right now.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So we got the beer. We got the cigars.
It's kickoff time.
Let's get down to
the let's get the show started.
So if you've been living under a rock, you would have noticed that you still probably would have noticed that Clemson just dominated the national title game against Alabama.
Yes, they did.
So I thought I was expecting a lot closer game. As were you.
Yeah, I think everyone was. If someone told me, if someone tries to tell me that they saw Clemson beating Alabama by 28 points, they're a liar.
Yeah.
Like, I think everyone saw this being an extremely close game. But Clemson, I mean, I think one of the few times you've ever seen Nick Saban just outcoached, Alabama just outmatched. And really the better team won, so.
Yeah. And people are going to say, like, oh, you know, it just wasn't their day. Well, you know, you get a good week of preparation between these games and stuff like that. So, and like you said, it's not very often you see Nick Saban outcoached. You can't say that they didn't have a lot. They just had more talent because Alabama has talent there. That game should have been a lot closer with the talent that they have there. But it just looks like the Saban just did not have a good game plan ready, and they just didn't execute that day.
Alabama just didn't want to be there.
Yeah,
you know that's didn't want to be there.
Oh yeah, we're going off what we said last week.
Yeah, you know that's the excuse you hear from a lot of SEC schools. Oh yeah, they just didn't want to be there.
I mean that's the wrong game to say that. You know, but I mean, as far as like Clemson's concerned, they just flat out dominated from the first minute and a half into the game because you know they ran that pick six back. Hey, a minute and a half into the game, it was just gangbusters after that.
And what was, I mean, I'm pretty much every key that we said that Clemson needed to do,
they did
to win the game. They did it. I said defense needed to start fast. I mean, hell, they got a damn pick six. You know, I said get Trevor Lawrence in a rhythm.
They did,
and it didn't take long either. And I think you said just protect Trevor Lawrence. Don't let that defensive line get after him. And they didn't.
And
touch
they did
him.
That. They did.
Yeah, they didn't
one
touch
sack.
Him. So
not one sack for Alabama. That's the key point in the game. Because like I was saying last week, is like if you get him rattled, he'll make a freshman mistake. He didn't get rattled. He didn't make that freshman mistake, and he was playing beyond his years last week. Man, it was just ridiculous.
Well, he's really done that since he came in.
Like, oh yeah,
since he started, he's. I mean, if I told you, if somebody who paid didn't know about him for whatever reason, if I told him this kid is a true freshman.
You would never believed it.
Yeah, they never would have believed it. But he's definitely something else. I think he's a once in a generational talent, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Well, like they're talking about him and Tua. You know, if they were to enter this draft, they'd probably be the first two players off the board in this draft.
Oh, absolutely. I could believe first two quarterbacks anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, and like Trevor Lawrence, you know, he's saying like 3 years he wants to. I don't believe he'll be there all three. You know, three more years that he has left of eligibility. But, you know, you never know. You know, no. As a college football fan, I hope he stays, you know, to be a senior. But, you know.
As a college football fan, you know, I don't mind watching generational talents. Mm-hmm. As a South Carolina fan, I wish he could go in the draft this year.
You're being way too partial with that,
I think they should just let him go this year.
But, yeah, I mean, not saying that Alabama won't be here next year. I think we're looking at another, you know, Clemson-Bama, at least somewhere in the playoff next year.
Yeah, just depending on how they seed them.
They both just recruit so well. You know, they're both – and people are, like, looking at Bama like, oh, is this the end of the Bama dynasty? It's not. It's 1 year. They'll reload next year.
And – I mean, it's not like they went and lost 3, 4, 5 games. I mean, they pretty much rolled up until the national championship game. I mean, they still went 14-1 with 14 pretty much dominant wins. So
I'd say 13 dominant wins, but yeah, because, you know, you got that title game, but. But yeah, Bama's dynasty is not quite over, folks. So don't sleep on Nick Saban. Yeah, everybody seems to be sleeping on Nick Saban. And I've been saying on the show he's never been undefeated. That's incorrect. He did go undefeated one time. So, you know, I have to put myself on blast, because, you know, on this whole show I've been saying he's never gone undefeated, and that would have been proving my fact this year. But yeah, back in 2009 he did go undefeated against Texas in his first national title at Bama.
Okay,
totally forgot about that. But you know,
we're gonna have to hire a stat checker for this.
Yeah, we're gonna have to you know, get that on that free payroll we got here.
Yeah.
But you know, Clemson, both teams are bringing back their starting quarterbacks. And, you know, both are bringing back a lot of talent. You know, they both have talent at the skill positions, especially Clemson, you know.
Clemson's wide receivers, man.
Ross, man. That one-handed catch, I turned the TV off after that game. It was late at night. I was like, you know what? Game over after that catch. That was just – it was such a sick catch. I was like, yep, that's the game, Clemson. You turned it off.
I didn't turn it off, but – I kind of quit paying attention to it at halftime.
Yeah.
Clemson was starting to roll. I think I actually texted you. I said, Clemson's got this in the bag.
Yeah, you did say that.
And so I kept watching, but I wasn't watching, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. But it was just, it got to the point where you're like, you're hoping that Bama can just get a stop, and they just couldn't get a stop. That Trevor Lawrence was just making, and it wasn't the fact that Bama wasn't getting him in third and longs. They were getting him in the third and longs. Trevor Lawrence was just converting those. And as a quarterback, that's what you need to do as a quarterback, is get complete third down passes.
But sometimes I wonder, though, because Bama was moving the ball. They were they were running the ball like very well. And it's like they would get down towards the 30, the 20 into the red zone. And then they would try to start throwing the ball and they just couldn't get the ball in the end zone.
That fake field goal was pretty – that's a pretty terrible call.
he went full Kirby Smart on us on that
he
one.
Now we see where Kirby Smart got it from, you know, being the protege of, you know, Nick Saban. But, yeah, like I said, like going into next year, it's going to be 1-2 next year too. So it's pretty obvious that both teams are just going to be next year.
And this has been a big topic this week, as we start to close the book on college football for this season. Do you think that this matchup, you know, the Alabama Clemson matchup, being 3 or 4 in national championship past 4 years straight, counting the semifinal last year, do you think that that's bad for college football?
I don't, because, you know, we want rival. That's what's so great about college football, is that there's so many awesome rivalries. You know, you got the Iron Bowl, you know, you got the Michigan and Ohio State game, and now this, you got this game, you know, this is actually probably a little bit better in some ways, because they're always, it's, you know, the first two were down to the wire, and they're always in games that matter, and they're out of conference. That's another thing. Yeah. It's like, it's not supposed to happen, and it just does. And yeah, the college football committee tends to make it happen, especially like last year. They kind of forced that issue last year. But it's one of those things, like, it's good for the game, and it happens, and they always play at a time where it matters most, when it's in the playoff. And it's one of those things that you can be mad about it if you want, but you can't deny it. At least the first two games, those are two awesome games to watch.
See, I agree with you, but at the same time, I disagree with you. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's bad for the game that they play every year, or, you know, they've had the past 4 years. But like you said, the first two games were these epic games that left people wanting more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these past two have just been complete duds. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that's bad for the game, especially when it happens in your national championship game.
Yeah. But you can't blame them for this year because, you know, both teams were undefeated. You know, they both.
No. They both deserve to be in this year, but.
Last year was a little.
Yeah. If they, you know, it's the first two games, which I get it. Every game's not going to be an instant classic. You know, every game's not going to be this super, you know, competitive game that comes down to a last second touchdown throw. But if they play every year, they need to be more entertaining than they don't need to be like the last two games, which, you know, college football committee doesn't have any control over that. They don't have any control over which team. I mean, no one knew that Alabama was going to come out and just get completely dominated. So
yeah, everybody thought it was going to be like, you know, the first two games where they just, you know, it was just back and forth affair, whereas this year was this kind of like more of a dude.
Yeah, my Fizzy's score projector was wrong.
Completely wrong, you know.
It had 31-30 Alabama, and that was not even close.
Yeah, I don't think neither one of us saw this coming at all. So, but you know, as we get off of the national title game, we still got college football news. Oh. You know, gonna bring up Kyler Murray. You know, he's coming up. He's the ace of, you know, expecting him to enter the NFL draft. Do you think it's a good smart move by Kyler Murray to go into the draft, or do you think he should go play baseball?
I actually think that this is a smart move.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why. Baseball can always be his fallback. Now, will he get the money that he would have gotten had he just go ahead and signed for being a first-round pick? Maybe not. But he could pull a Tim Tebow, except with not so many years in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Go try your hand at the NFL. Mm-hmm. You know, play 2-3 seasons. If it's clear it's not going to work for you, if it's clear you're not going to be an NFL starting quarterback, go play baseball.
Mm.
You will get on a baseball team. There are a million of them. You might have to start at AAA, but you will get on – or single A or double A, whatever. But you will get on a baseball team, and you can always play baseball.
Yeah.
So I don't blame him one bit. Now, people say he's stupid for walking away from the money or something like that, but money aside, take the money out of it. If he wants to play football, go try it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, and he can always just go back to baseball.
Well, I was watching a video on YouTube, and I shared a video of his, I believe last week, about his a guy named Flimlo Raps on he's on YouTube. I think I sent you a video of it last week, and he brought up the fact that he's not going to be a major league pitcher. That's where the money is in major league. And he would have to go up from single A. He was drafted as a prospect, and yeah, he's a very highly touted prospect, but it's going to take him years to even get up to the majors to make that good money.
Yeah.
Whereas he would enter the draft, if he were to get drafted in the first round or even the second round, he'd be getting paid more than the contract he got guaranteed money in from the A's.
Yeah.
So in retrospect, it's probably the smartest move for him to go into the NFL where he can, you know, make starting quarterback money as opposed to, you know, minor league money for the next couple of years.
And like we're talking, you know, he goes, it doesn't work. He has to go to, say, double A. Say he will get picked up by a team in baseball, he goes to double A. That's where he would have started anyway, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so.
But the process, people are like, oh, yeah, he got drafted by the major leagues. But it's a longer process for baseball than it is for football.
Absolutely.
Football, they just throw you in because you only have so many years. Baseball, you have time to mature.
Yeah.
You have time to groom and everything at that point.
When you draft a first-round player in football, he's expected to come in and contribute right away.
Yeah.
When you draft a first-round player in baseball, you know he's going to have to go through the farm system. Now, some go longer than others. You know, it may be 6 months, and then he's called up to the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to have to go through the farm system, and there's going to be a learning period there. So I think it's a smart move overall.
Well, here's the only example like I really know of, like firsthand. Josh Hader. We all know Josh Hader, the Milwaukee Brewers reliever, won reliever of the year this year.
Mm-hmm.
He graduated with my sister at Old Mill High School back in 2012. He got drafted right out of high school. He didn't start playing in the majors till halfway through the 2017 season. So that whole gap, he was just in the minor league system. So you got to think about that. And that's as a pitcher. Like, I mean, you can only imagine how long it would take. You know, I mean, obviously, probably a pitcher probably takes a little bit longer than the outfielder or whatnot. But that just shows you how slow the process could be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and yeah, he's like killing it now, but you know, that's a whole lot of years in the NFL that he could use to be a quarterback.
Yeah. But at the same time, though, he could be wasting his years in the NFL. Those could be years that he could be using to work his way up through the minor leagues.
Yeah, but he's a four-year starter in high school. I think he loves football more than he loves baseball.
And who wouldn't?
Yeah. I mean, obviously we do. But, you know, you see a lot of these like players who are like baseball and football athletes, a lot of them take baseball for the money, and some of them don't have that option to play football. Well, he has both, so – I think he's doing the right thing, trying to pursue his, you know, I don't know if it's his dream to play in the NFL. I think he's just taking what's financially probably best for him. But, you know, give credit to him. He's probably one of the best athletes that we've ever seen in our generation. Because especially if he gets drafted in the first round, there is no one has ever been drafted in the first round of the NFL or the major league draft.
Yeah, well, that'd be something to see. Maybe he's going just to do that.
But getting on from that,
from one quarterbacks to the other,
to the others that we got.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts, you know, I think he's been announced that he's actually going to transfer officially now. You know, kudos to him for hanging in there this year. He wanted to try to win the quarterback job this year. Didn't work out that way, but I think he looks a lot better by staying there than leaving.
He's also a graduate transfer, right?
Yeah, so he'll be able to play right away.
It's not like he's just like, I'm not getting to play. I'm leaving. Like he's graduated, so he'll be. To me, that looks a little bit better with him being a graduate transfer than like if he would have left last year, just like, oh well, I'm not getting to play.
Yeah, well, it showed. You know, especially came full circle during the SEC championship game when he came in after Tua got hurt, and his patience paid off. He'll still always be an Alabama legend in my eyes.
Yeah, they're going to make a Disney movie about that one day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he still has the national title, even though, like he didn't actually win the national title, but he still won the 14 games to get them up to the – or 13 games to get them up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean – you know, give him some kind of credit. He's still an out. Like, even in the national title game that he lost, he was in a full-fledged duel with Deshaun Watson in that game where he was throwing the ball like just like Deshaun Watson and basically came down to the last play of the game so that he didn't have the ball in his hand. So Jalen Hurts will always be in a lot well-respected in Alabama, especially after that SEC game.
So let me ask you this about Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
Now that his Alabama time is behind him, I'm not talking about the Vegas odds or where people think, you know, where people seem to think he's going to land. Because right now I saw the odds come out. They said like Houston is like the favorite to land him. But let's put that aside. Where do you personally think that he would fit in?
Well, as far as like, I think what he wants to do is improve his throwing game and, you know, place that does that well, where it also shows his running ability, Oklahoma, where Kyler Murray is just now leaving. So I think, and then they're going to need somebody to replace him and groom the guy behind him. So,
well, this was just before we started recording, it come on that Austin Kendall, who is expected to compete for Oklahoma's starting job this year, is now in the transfer portal.
Oh, snap.
So, I agree with you on Oklahoma. I think that would be a good fit. I think Jalen Hurts, like you said, he wants to go somewhere where he can develop himself for the NFL, you know, develop himself as a passer and all that good stuff. But I think he also, if you got one season left, you want to go somewhere where to a team that's ready to compete, all they need is just a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I think Oklahoma fits that bill.
Yeah, they always have offensive talent to surround him where he can throw, where he will be able to throw somebody that can make a play on the ball.
And they're going to be in competition for the Big 12 and for obviously for the national championship. But I just thought it was interesting that Austin Kendall is now put his name out there for transfer.
Yeah,
with Jalen Hurts out there available. Another one that's interesting to me, it may not necessarily be a good fit. It may not necessarily be because, you know, to compete for a championship, but Maryland.
That'd be an interesting one.
Mike Locksley, who's obviously been in Alabama the past couple seasons, is going to is obviously, you know, the head coach now at Maryland, and maybe he wants to play for him his last season.
And these last year or two, Maryland has had talent on the perimeter. They just haven't had a solid quarterback play. And if they can get a solid quarterback, they can end up put their name in, at least be in the discussion to make an ACC championship run. They're in the Big Ten. That's how bad they've been playing.
But from what I've read, though, it seems like now, I think it's at Miami and Jalen Hurts seem to have mutual interest with each other. So despite, you know, our personal thoughts on it, don't be surprised if he ends up at Miami.
Well, another guy putting his name in the transfer portal, which I don't know where they came up with this term transfer portal from.
Well, you're going to hear it another time when we talk about this guy, because something interesting as well has happened. So go ahead.
Tate Martell,
mm-hmm.
where Justin Fields has said he's transferring, and he's already enrolled this week.
Mm-hmm.
He's put his name in the transfer portal. Now, when you hear transfer portal, he's not saying he's transferring, but he's given other colleges permission to talk to him.
Yeah, they're allowed to talk to him.
So he isn't officially transferring. He's just like, hey, I'm kind of interested in leaving. What schools want me?
Who's going to pay me the most money? Yeah.
Not exactly like that, but yeah, sure, we'll go with that. But
oh, look, I just got a notification. Hurts to visit Maryland.
Oh, hey,
look at that, breaking news.
Breaking news. There you go, Adam Schefter.
But, getting back to Tate Martell. So that that transfer portal, Oregon, as backup quarterback, Braxton Burmeister has put his name in the backup portal. I keep calling it the backup portal. The transfer portal. And I think that Tate Martell may be a really good fit for Oregon, because
he would have to sit out a year.
I don't know, unless he gets a waiver.
Yeah.
He's going to have to sit out a year anyway. What better quarterback to sit behind for one season than Justin Herbert?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he comes in with this recruiting class that Oregon's got coming in. They're probably going to have another one coming in the year that he's eligible to play.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Oregon is still in that kind of a building phase.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to have a solid quarterback to build around. That'll be two solid recruiting classes and a highly talented quarterback that they can build around. To me, that fits. What's your thoughts on that, Fluffy?
I think you're absolutely right in that respect, because, I mean, if he can't get approved, he'd have to sit a year out, which means – who would you rather sit behind than Justin Herbert, who was supposed to be the number one quarterback coming into the draft this year?
Mm-hmm.
So him coming out this year would be, you know, I think would be an awesome, awesome fit for him. You know, it's almost the same offense, honestly. It's practically the same spread option offense that he ran Ohio State. So it wouldn't be that much of a learning curve. Plus you get, you know, you save the year of eligibility. You wouldn't have to go into the – if you have a good year, you probably would – because him sitting out a year, he wouldn't have to go into the draft with, you know, with Tua or even maybe Justin Fields if he were to decide to come out around the same time. So, I mean, it'd be the best decision for him.
And I have one more. This is outside the box, but not so far outside the box. What about Alabama? Assuming he's got to sit out a year.
Well, they're high on Tua's little brother.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think they have Tua. I don't know if he's committed or
– he's already committed. He's already coming in. So he's already going to have to sit behind Big Brother for a year if Tua decides to come out after next year and then take the reins as a, you know, either a sophomore or a redshirt freshman.
Mm-hmm.
And if – I think they're trying to say that he's better than his brother. Don't exactly know about that. I saw one game of his this year, and he didn't exactly play all that well. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. Not exactly like my forte to kind of guess on how high school football translates to college, especially at that level. So
yeah.
But yeah, I don't think Bama would be the best place for him, just because, you know, even if Tua's little brother doesn't exactly pan out, they always get 5-star players to kind of come fill in anyway. So
okay, so you just shooting my Bama thought down.
You just started out. It's fine. Whatever. So
we're close.
So we're closing out on college football.
Oh, tier.
Oh, I know. We'll still, you know, any news we hear throughout the week, we'll still bring that up first as our priority, because, you know, this is our priority as our show goes on. We'll probably talk about Senior Bowl stuff and combine draft stuff, because that kind of merges everything college football and pro football together and all that. But we're going to get into some NFL games. Like I said, like, we won't stop on the college football stuff, but, you know, we got to talk about something. We can't just make our shows 10, 15 minutes. You know, that would be, you know, pointless at this point. So so we're going to start with the first game tomorrow at the 4 o'clock game. It's Colts and Chiefs. Chiefs are the 5.5-point favorites. Who are you picking for this game?
Okay, so I'm torn on this one because last week I picked the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl. They were one of my Super Bowl teams. But I also said that the Colts were going to be my Cinderella team. And you can't be much of a Cinderella if you go out into the divisional round. You know, that's not much of a Cinderella. but so I'm going to hedge my bet at the end of this one. But okay. I think Andrew Luck, T.Y. Hilton, Marlon Mack, they should get theirs against the Chiefs defense.
Oh yeah.
But here's the thing about the Chiefs defense. They're only giving up 18 points per game at home. As bad as they've been this year, or statistically as bad as they've been this year, 18 points a game at home is not bad at all.
Yeah.
And the Colts defense is pretty good, but I don't think they've faced a offense quite like what the Chiefs bring to the table. So I'm going to put it this way. I'm going to take Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs. So, I'm not backing away from my Super Bowl pick. That's my Pat Mahomes voice.
Okay, is that from the Gridiron Heights stuff?
That's just the way he talks. So I'm not going to back down from my Chiefs going to the Super Bowl, because I made that pick. So I'm not backing out of that.
But all right, that's fair.
But I will say this.
Close.
I'm pulling for the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm picking the Chiefs, but I'm pulling for the Colts.
All right, I can get with you on that. I can smoke with your smoking with that.
Yeah. I'm hedging my bets a little bit on that one.
Now, here's an interesting matchup. I said this during the national title game. The matchup to watch for in this game is going to be, you know, the edge rushers that, you know, as bad as the Chiefs defense is, they do have some talented edge rushers against that Colts offensive line, which is the best offensive line in the league. I don't care what anybody says. That is the best offensive line. They're making a star out of Marlon Mack, man. Like,
Mack's the poor man's Le'Veon Bell.
He is. He does everything for them. I picked him up in fantasy. Kudos to him for helping me win. But I picked Houston, you know, that was my, you know, Cinderella Super Bowl team. Obviously, that didn't pan out. But just seeing how dominant that defense looked against the Texans offense, you know, yes, they're very banged up on offense. I get that as far as Houston's concerned. But I think the way that, you know, Andrew Luck is playing right now, and as bad as that defense can be, I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going to go with the Colts going to the AFC Championship game next week, man.
Okay.
And I just got a good feeling about them. If not, they're at least going to cover.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't mind seeing that, but Pat Mahomes does not approve that message.
All right, Kermit. All right, going from that to the night game tomorrow night, you got the Cowboys, who had a very, you know, pretty impressive. I don't know if it's an impressive win against Seattle, but, you know, they showed a lot of heart in that game against Seattle. They're going to Los Angeles to play the Rams. Rams are a 7-point favorite. Who do you have in this game?
I'm going Rams. The rush defense hasn't been very good, which is not a good matchup against, of course, Ezekiel Elliott. But the defense has made stops late in games.
Yeah.
Plus, they're getting Todd Gurley back, which you know, now, you know, Jared Goff throwing the ball, Todd Gurley, you know, on the ground. I'm going to Rams on a close one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Rams too. The Cowboys defense is very good, and I think they could – I'm not saying that they can't win. I think they could win.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just I think their luck just runs out. I think the Rams just too much firepower in Los Angeles. Hopefully they can get a crowd there, you know.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know, hopefully they can sell out that Coliseum for once.
Well, there's probably going to be mostly Cowboy fans anyway.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm going to go with the Rams on this one, man. I think the Cowboys could, you know, make a – I think they have building blocks for next year for sure. They just need to shore up that secondary, though.
Yeah, for sure. But, yeah, I and also I think at the end of the day, though, did you fall down?
No, I'm here.
I think at the end of the day, the Rams are just a better team.
Okay. So, going on to that Sunday games, we got the Chargers at the Patriots. I want Phillip Rivers. He's 0-7 against, you know, Tom Brady.
Uh-huh.
I want him to, you know, get a ring before, because I think out of that, you know, that 0-4 draft class, you know, with Eli and Phil, and Big Ben, I think he's the most talented. I think he's had the better career, but he's just had no talent on his team.
Yeah, I can absolutely agree with that.
Because if he had the talent that Eli or Big Ben had, he'd probably have 3 rings right now.
Yeah, and, I can agree with that. Yeah,
because this is the year he has the talent. He has a defense that can, you know, make the stops. Mm-hmm. He has a great running back in Melvin Gordon. He has great receivers on the outside. He's getting Hunter Henry back. I don't know how effective he's going to be, but he's coming back. I just don't think this is his year. You can't give Bill Belichick 2 weeks to prep for your team. You just can't.
So you're going with the Pats.
I'm going with the empire that is the New England Patriots.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you. Like you said, I think that the Chargers, from top to bottom, are the better team. You know, Phillip Rivers is having a hell of a year, but it's playoffs.
Mm.
It's Bill Belichick. It's Tom Brady.
Tom freaking Brady, man.
They're at home. They're 8-0 at home this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly think that the Patriots have one of the more underrated defenses.
Yeah, you know, and they're just getting better.
I'm going to have to agree with you. I'm going with the Patriots as well. Yeah. And we get to see them in another AFC championship.
Them. Well, you know, we want Phillip Rivers to get a ring. And just, you know, I
mean, he's got a good name. He's got a good name.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But, but going on from that game, we got the Cinderella Eagles, you know, mm-hmm. they're looking pretty impressive on making another Super Bowl run. Mm-hmm. They're going to New Orleans, and the first time they played, they just got destroyed. They didn't even if you gave the Saints 40 points to win, they would have cleared that.
Yeah, it was what 48-7 or something like that.
Something like that, something crazy. But this is a different Philadelphia Eagles team. They're playing red hot right now. They are playing, and Nick Foles is leading that charge. Even though he threw 2 picks last week, he still rallied that team to, you know, to win the game last week. You can blame what's his name, Cody Parkey, all you want, but you know that it was a block kick. You can't really do much about it. So
yeah, you could say you blame Cody Parkey, but
exactly
begin with, but
yeah, exactly. Wow. So, but who do you have in this game? Saints are 8-point favorite. I think it's going to be a little closer than that.
I'm going New Orleans.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm going New Orleans. I picked them to be in the Super Bowl. But 40 points per game in the last 5 games that they've played in the Superdome that Drew Brees has played in. Obviously, they didn't play. He didn't play the last week against the Panthers. Mm-hmm. But I got a refreshed offensive line. A refreshed Alvin Kamara, refreshed Ted Ginn Jr. is a second option. I just got to think that they're going to be at the end of it. I think it's going to be close. I agree with you on it. It's going to be close. But I think at the end of the day, the Saints and just overall talent is going to end Nick Foles' mythical status.
Yeah. I mean, as you know, it's a great story for Nick Foles. It really is. Like, he has bounced around, and people forget he is a Pro Bowl quarterback at one
point. He is. Yeah, he really is. Yeah.
And he will get paid next year when he becomes a free agent. Some team is going to want him, you know, to kind of mentor a young quarterback somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm with you. I think the Saints, you know, they're just too good. I think this could be a year they make the Super. They give Drew another ring, and maybe he'll retire after that. I don't know.
Okay.
Stop piling up stats and stuff.
So, for the AFC Championship, you have the Colts versus the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Chiefs versus the Patriots. And for the NFC Championship, we're both on the Rams and the Saints.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's sad that there's only, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games left?
Yeah, there's – yeah.
It's sad, man. Like, it's winding down. Football season goes by so fast, and yet it's like the all the other NBA, NHL, MLB, they just seem like they last so long compared to NFL. It comes so quick and gone.
It does. I wish it was like baseball where it lasted 9 months a year.
Yeah, no shit. Man, if only, man. But then, you know, we wouldn't feel so joyous when it comes back.
Oh, yes. August is a wonderful time.
Oh, yeah. You know. It's bad when you get so – it's the only time of year where anybody gets excited for exhibition games.
Oh, yeah. August is like Christmas.
Oh, yeah. August, like, you get amped up for that Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, yes, it's back. It sucks, but it's back.
And, you know, the thing is, it doesn't matter. Like, obviously, you know, South Carolina, Clemson, you know, South Carolina, Wisconsin, a Green Bay fan. But it doesn't matter how good or bad they might be. We're just ready for it to be back. Like,
yeah, it doesn't matter. It's football, you know. It starts over every time of year, but we'll get more into that as the season officially ends after the Super Bowl.
So,
but
I have a question real quick.
Yeah.
If Nick Foles, let's say he wins the Super Bowl this year, right?
Uh-huh.
We're going out on a limb here.
Yeah.
Could you make an argument for what he's done? Like, for the little bit of time that he's played, because he's only, like, the most games he's ever started in a season, I believe, is like 11 or 12.
No, he's never started 14.
He's never started a full season.
In 13, I believe, when we were on deployment, I think he started like 13.
Yeah, he's never started a full season, though.
Yeah.
Could you make an argument that he might be a Hall of Famer?
No, not a Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? I mean, he's a Pro Bowler. He's a Pro Bowler. He's a two-time Super Bowl champion.
Well, that's the same thing as saying Jim Plunkett should be in the Hall of Fame. He's got two Super Bowl rings, and he's not in the Hall of Fame either.
Did Jim Plunkett out-duel Tom Brady? No, that's
– No, that's a little bit
weak. Hot take.
But in saying that, I could make an argument that they – sign him to a longer deal and end up giving, you know, trading away Carson Wentz. You know, because think about, you know, Carson Wentz played really well last year. He struggled this year. And the theme really started to come along with Nick Foles at the helm. Like, you can honestly make an argument that Nick Foles could end up being, if and this is only if he ends up leading them to another Super Bowl.
Which he's not.
He's not.
We have already made our picks. We already know.
But if he beats man, here I'll tell you what, if he beats New Orleans, game on, man.
Yeah, that
game on for me.
Shit's like, getting serious if he beats New Orleans.
Yeah, like, and that'll be an interesting game to watch. And honestly, I would honestly put, like I was saying, it's like I can make an argument that a lot of Philly fans would argue that he needs to be the starting quarterback over Carson Wentz.
I think what they should do is they should just keep him, and whether Wentz is hurt or not, about week 14,
yeah,
just start him.
Yeah, but you can't.
No, but yeah, it's definitely an argument. I mean, I don't know. If I'm a Philly fan, I'm not sure what you want to do, because I think Carson Wentz is the better quarterback. But Nick Foles is winning
magic.
Winning you shit. I mean,
he is the magic man. Yeah, it's just it's something to look into these next couple of weeks. You know, if he wins this week, you know, Philly fans will start talking. They don't shut up when they're on a hot streak. So
yeah, they don't shut up when they're 8-8. So
yeah, that's awesome. But as a preview for next week, we'll get into some of these coaching hires at the NFL, some questionable ones.
Yeah,
a couple of questionable ones. Yeah, we'll get more of that.
We kind of wanted to let them go ahead and fill out what they're going to be first.
Yeah, but we'll get in more depth about that next week.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all we got this week, folks. You got anything else you had there, Barton?
All I'm going to say is if you like what you hear, go to Facebook, search Fluffy and Fizzy Sports Lounge, give our page a like. Like us on Twitter at Fluffy and Fizzy. And also give Pulse Podcast Network a like at PulsePodNet on Twitter.
Okay. Well, that's all. That's all we got this week, folks. For Philip Fizzy Barton, I'm Drew Fluffy Coates. You guys drink responsibly and stay safe out there. Have a good night.
Cheers, guys.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.